This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Four minutes after nine on this Saturday morning, the Sports Saturday Show, brought to you by Mark Steeran, your State Farm Insurance agent of Litchfield, by Kurt's 24-hour towing of Litchfield, by Prairie Farms Dairy of Carlinville, taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, by Bruce Webb Insurance of Farmersville and Raymond, by Nancy's Pizza of Litchfield, by the Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville, by the Litchfield National Bank, by Garrell's Auto Body of Litchfield, and by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. We now join Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Randy Prangy, thank you so much. And on this rainy, gloomy Saturday, welcome to Sports Saturday here on FM 106. And I am at home, David is at home, and it is 2020. And David, I was just thinking about both being here in our home studios, and I have a Warden address. I'm in the Prairie Town Fire District, and I'm in the Staunton School District.
So you're covering a wide swath of area right now.
I cast a wide net.
I'm in my bedroom in Taylor Springs.
Wonderful Taylor Springs.
Beautiful. I love it here.
That's right. You guys have moved around a little bit here recently.
We have, yes. I'm only 29 years old and already on my third home that I've owned. So,
Home you've owned? That's pretty impressive, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let me give a caveat here. I've never actually fully purchased them all outright.
Oh,
but, yes.
Those are just details, David. Those are just a mere details. Hey, we'll have Fighting Illini football coming up today, 11 o'clock on 105.3 The Oxen. David, you know 2020 is weird when the Illini game time gets moved back for TV purposes, with the Ohio State-Maryland game getting canceled over COVID. 0-3 Illinois, 1-2 Rutgers gets bumped. Instead of an 11 o'clock start, it will be a noon kickoff in New Jersey, 11 o'clock pregame on 105.3 The Ox. But that's not much of a trade-off if you're the Big Ten. We'll swap out Ohio State for Illinois Rutgers.
Well, in terms of how competitive the game is actually going to be, I'd say it might be a little bit of an upgrade. I don't know that Maryland was really going to be competitive against Ohio State. This might actually be a good game, Illinois and Rutgers.
It might be a close game.
Right.
Get close and good confused.
You never know. We could be in for the game of the year today.
Hey, that's why sports are great, because it could wind up being a highly entertaining game today. Illinois and Rutgers, 11 o'clock on 105.3 The Ox. More on the Illini as we move along here in the hour. Of course, big Illini basketball news this week as Illinois debuts in the top 10 in the national polls. Io Dosunmu, preseason All-American. They've got a game at Duke. They've got the bragging rights game at Missouri. So we'll get into all sorts of Illini conversation here a little bit later in the hour. But, David, once again, we start with the IHSA. And earlier this week, they held a special meeting to kind of try to figure out what their path forward is going to be after they went against the governor's office and the Department of Public Health once basketball was reclassified as high risk. The IHSA said, we're going to move forward. And I don't think, David, that they got the type of following that they anticipated. I think of like when you're a kid and you've got a big group behind you and you're all jazzed to charge the hill and you lead the group and then you turn around and you're the only one moving. I feel like that's what happened to the IHSA.
Yeah. As we had Darren DeNeve on a few weeks ago, he called for just some sort of united front from everybody, because it'd be better to have kind of a united decision moving forward. You heard a wide range of rumors. I think the most I heard that were actually for sure playing this year was like 9 schools. That could have been more, but I mean, the number of schools that said they were for sure playing regardless this year was small. There were a number of schools who said they weren't going to play, and then there was an even bigger number that said, you know, they just weren't sure right now. Hopefully, we have fewer IHSA meetings, unlike we did in the summer. And I know they had time to have a bunch of meetings in the summer, but it was still frustrating, I know, because you had athletic directors looking for some sort of decision-making, some sort of decision, and meetings kept getting pushed back, and finally a meeting where the actual decision came forward was held very late. Hopefully it's not the same situation now. I know specifically the Hillsborough School District. I think the IHSA meeting is, what, the 19th?
Yes.
I know the Hillsborough School District has scheduled a special board meeting on the 24th, and it is solely about the high school basketball season. So Hillsborough at least is planning on doing something, provided they actually do have an IHSA meeting on the 19th.
Well, Litchfield, I saw they are planning to move forward with practice starting on Monday. Remember, that is the first official day of practice, but now the IHSA recommending you adhere to level one guidelines, which means no contact at practice of any kind. And then I saw Lincolnwood, they have gone ahead and postponed their first week of games, which were scheduled for the week of November 30th. But you are correct, David. A lot of schools kind of in the same holding pattern, waiting for some sort of resolution. And when I saw that the IHSA was asking for a meeting or invited representatives from the governor's office and the Department of Public Health to attend their board meeting, my thought was, that's like 3 months late. Like, that to me is what should have been done months ago at the beginning of this process. And to now, because the Department of Public Health and the governor, they're on the same page. The State Board of Education has sided with those two groups that basketball is high risk and the schools shouldn't engage. So the IHSA, they're the ones that have the difference of opinion here. And but I just don't see how, if you couldn't get these people to come to a meeting 3 months ago, why are they going to come to a meeting about high school sports now when it sure seems that the state is getting ready to go into some sort of, I don't want to use the term lockdown, but you're hearing the phrase stay-at-home order floated again.
Right, but at the same time, the complaint that the IHSA and a lot of athletic directors have had is the governor and the Department of Public Health, they've made these decisions without consulting athletic directors and school officials and everything. So they've kind of made these unilateral decisions without actually consulting the people involved. And I think that's really what they're trying to get done. I do want to point out a note here. You mentioned Litchfield moving forward while Lincolnwood is actually postponed. That could be a difference in what's going on right now with the schools. Litchfield is still in session, still has school in session. Lincolnwood, the Panhandle School District right now, is all remote. So that probably has some sort of effect on why those two school districts have made the different decisions that they've made.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's all individual school district based here. But again, to the IHSA, they are kind of, during this process, the mouthpiece for the schools. And the whole process has been convoluted. And both sides try to make it seem like this has been like a transparent thing. And there's a lot of blame going on. But from what I have been told, the IHSA, they have been in the loop on all these decisions. Now, they haven't agreed with the decisions that have been made, but they have known what's coming down the pipeline. You know, the IHSA has made it seem like, boy, we've been kind of left out in the dark, but I've talked to the people in the General Assembly, and they say that's not the case. They say that they have been involved every step of the way. So a lot of this in the sports world, like in the real world, it comes down to PR and spin. Nobody wants to have egg on their face when this is done. And someone is going to have egg on their face. Who it is, right, who the heck knows. But the process, it has not been clean.
No. No. And like I said, hopefully we're not in a situation that we were in the summer where meetings keep getting pushed back, decisions keep getting postponed. Hopefully, you know, there is a meeting on the 19th, and whether or not officials from the governor's office or the Department of Public Health are there, that there is a decision made on the 19th so that these school districts can make a decision one way or another. I mean, whatever the districts decide to do and whatever the IHSA decides to do, okay. They just need to make some sort of decision. IHSA needs to make some sort of decision so the school districts can make some kind of decision.
And David, I don't know about you, but I just, my opinion, I don't, with the current state of the cases and the virus in the state, I don't see the Department of Public Health reversing course and saying, okay, we'll move basketball back to medium risk. I don't see that happening. Hope I'm wrong. But as we sit here right now, I just don't see how they're going to go backwards to medium risk.
I don't either. I don't see them making that change either. However, I don't see why they made the decision to change it to high risk, because nothing changed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Basketball didn't get any riskier from right. July to now.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, like I said, they need this meeting on the 19th. The IHSA, they need to have that be the meeting where a decision is made on their part. And if they choose to move forward with what they said, you know, leaving it up to the individual school districts, then the districts need to make their own decisions. And maybe there won't be high school basketball until the first of the year. Who knows? I mean, whatever. A decision needs to be made. They can't keep pushing it off like they did in the summer.
They're out of time.
Yes.
Yes. Time for the decision to be made. 15 minutes past 9 o'clock. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll return with more in just a moment. 18 minutes past 9 o'clock back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Tim Eyes along with David Jenkins. We'll have Fighting Illini football coming up 11 o'clock this morning on 105.3 The Ox. And David, we're going to continue our conversation here about the IHSA and high school basketball. And when they released their statement earlier this week, it felt to me like they were backtracking and maybe undercutting their argument just a little bit from this standpoint. If you're going to say to the Department of Public Health, you've classified basketball as high risk, we're going to move forward anyway. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now they have said, due to the rising number of cases in the state, if you are going to start practice on Monday, adhere to level one guidelines. I just have a hard time putting the two together and having it make sense to me.
Yeah, I think this all comes down to insurance and liability.
Absolutely.
We had this conversation last week, I think it was. I don't know. Again, as we said, as you said, basketball hasn't become any more risky, but of course, we live in an age where everyone wants to sue somebody for whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yes.
So you have to err on the side of caution, and that's what I think that is what a lot of school districts are hesitant about right now. You look at the numbers with kids and everything and risk percentage of kids and everything and the factors involved in everything. That's not incredibly high, or serious things with the kids is not incredibly high right now with this virus, with the exception of those who are immunocompromised. However, nobody wants to get sued or anything. So obviously you have to err on the side of caution. And that's why I believe, this is just my opinion, but that's why I believe a lot of school districts are hesitant right now to move forward. Because if there was no risk of a lawsuit, I think you would see an overwhelming majority of school districts moving forward with basketball. But because of districts and administrations being unsure of the liability, they're just not comfortable moving forward right now.
That's 100% correct. I mean, that is the snag in the system right now. But the IHSA, they knew that was going to be the case when they made their decision to go against the Department of Public Health. That's the thing about the IHSA, and I feel like if you follow high school sports, you understand this, but if you just sort of on the outside just kind of pay attention, the only thing the IHSA does is take care of postseason.
Right.
That's it. So, like, right now, the situation we're in, it doesn't matter what the IHSA said. If the schools wanted to play, they could have gone against the state and the Department of Public Health in the fall.
Yeah.
Without the IHSA. They could have said, we're going to play football. We're going to play volleyball. But they didn't do that because the state guidelines were in place. And to your point about the legal liability. So we all got excited when the IHSA made their announcement that we're going forward with our basketball season, but it didn't do anything. You know, it had no weight behind it.
Well, I think, like you said, they probably expected more support moving forward.
I don't think there's any question that they thought when they came out with their announcement that they would have a number of schools that just followed right behind. And not only did that not happen, you had Chicago Public Schools say no. You had Decatur Public Schools say no. And recently you had Springfield Public Schools say no. That's a problem.
Yeah. You wonder if a decision will start to be made by individual conferences. Obviously, it was left up to the schools, but I wonder if certain conferences say, just for an example, if the South Central Conference comes out and says, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll play, if you start to see conferences making those individual decisions because doing those basically playing only an interconference schedule, not really scheduling out of the conference.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, David, because I talked to Mark Elvers. I don't know if it was last week. I was discing corn stalks and my days got all messed up. But I asked him a similar question to that, and his response was, well, each school has to make their own decision, and then once we know what schools are playing, then on a conference level, we can go ahead and discuss that. But to your very point right there, David, earlier this week, the Apollo Conference did just that. They made the decision that they will not be playing basketball here coming up starting in November. So, you know, that affects Taylorville, Lincoln, obviously. So that was the first conference in our neck of the woods, I think, to make a final decision.
The Apollo does, however, cover a large geographical area. Like, that is such a, not to disrespect the conference by any means, but I mean, you take a look at the schools that are in that conference, holy cow. I mean, they're spread all over the state.
And they kind of wound up being kind of the poster boy conference when we saw the different jumping for football purposes, you know, like, all of a sudden, Lincoln's in the Apollo. Huh?
Yeah.
What? And, of course, this year, Totopolis got in because of COVID and all the different regions that are in play for scheduling. They're like, non-conference is going to be a little tough this year. Let's get in the Apollo. Oops.
Yeah, especially a basketball-heavy school like that
is.
To your point about Mark Elvers saying the individual schools have to make their decisions, it sounds like maybe the conferences should host a meeting or hold some sort of meeting so that they can talk about all their issues and everything, and then maybe you can have a conference decision that is just basically this, each of the schools making their decision.
But I think, though, in this situation, each school is going to have to make a decision for themselves first.
Well, right, I know, but I'm saying if you have like a conference meeting, that's where you can find out. I'm not saying you have a conference meeting and then the conference says, okay, we're going to play. I'm saying you have the meeting, you find out which schools are interested in playing and which schools are just not going to play, and then you can, you know, you come out of that meeting with a better understanding.
The fascinating thing about this to me, David, is that we know where coaches stand for the most part. We know where ADs stand for the most part. And then you've got your school administrators. But it's going to be down to the school boards.
Right.
You know, like superintendents, they make recommendations. And the board, a lot of times, you know, they will vote as the superintendent has recommended, but they don't have to. So this comes down to your local school board. What will they do? You know, they'll take input from all the, you know, from the community, from the administrators, from the coaches. But at the end of the day, each one of these school boards is going to make a decision, and it's going to be quite interesting to see which way it goes. It's not, you
it
know,
is.
We know this. It's not going to be 100% one way or 0% the other way.
Right. And it is going to be really interesting because the school boards are not made up of administrators. They're not made
up
of teachers. They're not made up of as coaches for the large part. I mean, mostly it's parents or someone with a vested interest in the school district, or sometimes you have someone who's a former educator or whatnot. But, yeah, it's really a wild card. We have no idea what the decisions the school boards could make.
And if you just track social media, you get a skewed perspective, I think. Because, like, when I go through social media, boy, you see a lot of agitated folk.
Right.
That just, they want to play. But I really get, I just, from my conversations out, you know, in the real world, away from the nonsense that is social media, I get this
fantasy
world. That is so, so true. I think it's a 50-50 split. I think if you ask 20 people, you're going to get 10 people to say let's play. You're going to get 10 people to say don't play. I think, well, it's America, David, so it's 50-50, no matter what.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I think the majority of people are still just unsure. I think honestly, what most people, this is parents, and while parents and students and coaches want to play, I think most of the people probably want somebody else to make the decision. I think that's what
well,
it comes down to.
Yes. From the get-go, nobody has wanted to be the bad guy. And this goes all the way back to the fall. Nobody wanted to be the group that was responsible for getting football postponed. Nobody wants to be the group that says we're not playing basketball. And, you know, whether you – I don't care if you like Pritzker or can't stand Pritzker. The man has been consistent from the get-go. You know?
Well, and that was one of the issues with the IHSA that I had personally with the IHSA, because the IHSA from the start, and I think we talked about this in the summer, during the summer, was that, you know, they clearly did not want to make the decision. They were clearly waiting for someone else to make the decision for the IHSA. And it was like, okay, you guys are a governing body. You could make the decision yourselves. And now they're kind of paying the price for that right now.
Yeah, I mean, they have done a lot of waffling. And this is a complicated situation, obviously. And the people that are in charge here, there are no good choices. You know, you've got bad choice A and bad choice B, and you just have to pick one. But to your point about the IHSA in the fall, like I said earlier, what they're doing now, to me, this was the play to make in July or August.
Yeah.
You know, I think this should have happened 3 months ago, in my opinion. Doing this now, it just makes them look, to me, weak. Because they're sitting there flapping in the wind here the last couple of weeks. They're on an island all by themselves. And at some point, like, we got to do something.
Yeah. Well, and what they could have even done, I'm talking about the IHSA here, is they could have even not done anything this week and just kept it to leave it up to the individual schools' decisions. And if some schools choose to play, that's good. And if some schools choose not to play, that's good. I mean, it would have been basically them saying, okay, we made the decision earlier this fall to let the individual schools make their own decisions. Okay. And now the schools have made their decisions. So that's what they should have done. I mean, their backtracking is what's getting them in trouble.
Yeah. They just seem right now like when you're a kid and nobody comes to your birthday party. Like, that's the sense I get from the IHSA right now. They're looking around and like, no one's here. I thought we had all this support. But it's, you know, that's the difference. It's easy to say you're going to go skydiving. It's a whole different thing when you're standing on the edge of that plane looking over.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I think you're exactly right, David. What they did this last week, that wasn't dealing from a position of strength.
Right.
You know, like they made their decision, and they were applauded for the decision because it took guts to make that decision. For them to come out and tell the state and the Department of Public Health, we don't think basketball is high risk. We are going to go forward with our season. That took guts to do. Make no mistake about it. That was a gutsy, gutsy move.
And they could have just left it alone.
And they could have left it alone. But by coming out earlier this week, and I don't want to, if I say beg, that sounds, you know, a little bit harsh. But basically pleading to get a sit down with the state agency, so you've been in negotiations with the whole time. And then to tell teams, well, you can start practice on Monday, but due to the rising number of cases, level one. I don't know. I think, they would have been better off just keeping quiet, having their meeting on the 19th.
Right. I kind of figured most schools were going to start practice this week anyway, because, again, practice I don't think was the issue. I think the issue was competition and playing kids from different school districts. I think because, like, were they not having football practice in the fall and, like, some of the other fall practices?
They had the contact days. I think it was 20 contact days they were given in the fall. But with the high-risk sports, they were limited to what they could do.
Okay. And even so, I figured most schools would probably have some sort of act, even if it's just like free throw shooting or open gym or whatever, they would have those starting this week. And then, you know, we would maybe have a decision about actual competition as we get closer to November 30th. But I don't know. What do I know? I'm not involved with any of the school districts.
David, what does anybody know?
No, exactly.
Nobody knows anything
right
about this, quite frankly. We're all just kind of learning as we go. And that's what makes the process so frustrating for a lot of people is we don't know. I mean, not only
right.
We just don't know what's going to happen later today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or forget about what's going to happen on November 30th. That might as well be 6 years away.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like I said, November 19th is the IHSA meeting. A decision needs to be made on that meeting, and then the school districts can make their decisions after that, if there are still decisions for the school districts to make. Or the IHSA could just come forward on the 19th and say, okay, we're shutting it all down, and then nobody can play. So,
can you imagine if that's what they do?
That would not be good.
That would not be good.
Yeah. They basically – here's what I think needs to happen, and again, this is just my opinion, but on the 19th, if there is nobody from the governor's office or Department of Public Health who is at the meeting or involved with the meeting at all, what the IHSA needs to do is just move forward with the decision they made weeks or months ago or whenever it was and say, okay, it's up to the districts.
It only
and
seems
then,
like months ago, David.
Yeah. I don't 2020 has just been one heck of a year. I don't know when. What month was when. But, yeah, a decision, if they're not going to have any kind of involvement from the governor's office or IDPH at that meeting, in my opinion, the IHSA needs to just go forward with the decision that they made, leave it up to the school districts, and then the school districts can decide whether or not to play and just leave it at that.
David, to your point of how weird and long 2020 has been, Kobe Bryant died this year.
I know.
That
yeah.
seems like it was a long, long time ago. That was January of this year. You think about how much has happened since
yeah,
that
the
time.
Yeah, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl this calendar year.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like ages ago.
It does. It really, really does.
Yeah.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Hi, this is Julie Smith, the assistant director of the surgery department at Hillsborough Area Hospital. We treat every one of our patients as if they are our loved ones. And to us, teamwork looks like a family. This family-like bond sets us apart because we are able to anticipate each other's needs to better serve our patients and community. We believe seamless teamwork is a must for patient safety and comfort. The surgery team's commitment to excellence adds up to a quality healthcare at Hillsborough Area Hospital.
At Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, you'll find folks who have been doing it right since 1982 at the same place owned by Dwayne Garrell. They give free estimates and complete insurance work on all makes and models, foreign and domestic. Garrell's also does mechanical work, including air conditioners and heaters, tune-ups, brake work, and starting and charging systems. Stop in at Garrell's today at 613 East St. John in Litchfield. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair. They do it right.
Back on Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini football coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. Illinois at Rutgers, and David, we'll see if Illinois can get off the schneid here. And, boy, Minnesota blew them out last week, and then Minnesota goes and gets hammered last night. And just when you look at Illinois, unless you just have orange and blue colored glasses on, it's hard to get too excited for anything positive coming out of this year.
It is. Didn't they have a COVID outbreak on their team?
Illinois?
I think they had
yeah.
players who...
Yeah,
yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
So, yeah, so there, I mean, there's... Gosh, it sounds so cynical the way I'm going to say this, but, I mean, there's one excuse you can use for having such a down year, or at least a down start to the year. You got to be competitive today. You really got to win today to salvage some part of the season, because this game today is their best win opportunity all year.
Listen, when you're trying to build a program like Illinois up, coming off of a bowl last year, obviously about as low level as a bowl as you can get. But to me, you can't get hammered like they've gotten hammered. Like, to expect them to go into Wisconsin to start the year and win, not really realistic. To expect them to go and put forth a respectable effort, I think that's a reasonable, or was a reasonable expectation to have.
And well, the game against Purdue doesn't look as bad because Purdue's competing for the Western Division title in the Big Ten. And
true, but I mean, remember, they were down big in that game.
Were they? Okay. I know the game was close, but
they were down.
Okay. That I
didn't rallied. So, I mean, two of the three games have gotten – they've been down big in all three games. Two of the three, they've been flat blown out. And that's more what concerns me. Like, if they were 0-3 like they are now, but they had been in the ball game in the fourth quarters, okay. Yeah. You know, because, okay, we're learning, we're taking steps here, whatever the case may be. But it has just seemed – this is just Illini football. It doesn't matter if Ron Turner's the coach, if it was Tim Beckman or Lovie Smith. They just get hammered all the time.
Well, remember, I hate to keep bringing this excuse up, but usually the Illini have three tune-up games before they get into conference play. They've kind of had those three quote-unquote tune-up games now. So this is where timing of the schedule would really kick in. Again, you got to win today because Rutgers is a team you should beat. Rutgers is... if you're really on the up, Rutgers is a team you should beat, and they're going to be your best win opportunity all season.
Well, that's just it, David. Is Rutgers really a team Illinois should beat?
I think so, because, gosh, Rutgers, I honestly think Rutgers is the worst team in the conference. I think they're worse than Illinois. That's just my opinion. But I think, gosh, they've been so down. I don't even remember the last time Rutgers was relevant. Ray Rice was their running back the last time.
It was Greg Schiano's first stint with the club.
Yes. So, yeah, you got to win today. I think Illinois is a better program than Rutgers is right now. So this is your best opportunity to win a game this year.
That sums up the state of Illinois football. I think they're a better program than Rutgers. Jury's still out.
Yeah. I mean, what do I know? I'm not.
I think you're right, though. I mean, I just don't think whenever you're a fan of a team, you always see the best potential.
Yeah.
You know, when you step back just as a neutral observer, the Illinois football team is not good.
And that's what I think I am.
And,
full disclosure, I'm not an Illini football fan.
No, but you tend to skew to the rosier side of the picture. You still owe me a Jimmy John's sandwich from the bowl game they didn't make 2 years ago, David.
Yeah, I was a year off.
It happens.
I was a year off, yeah.
11 o'clock today, Illinois Rutgers. We'll see what the Illini can do. We're going to get to one more break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something Illini-related that makes you happy. The basketball team, we'll talk about that when Sports Saturday continues. 40 degrees and rainy right now across mid-Illinois. We are looking at an afternoon high of about 56 degrees. We'll see that low tonight down to 41. Now, tomorrow, no rain, but we could see wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour tomorrow, a high of 51, almost 60 for your high on Monday with sunshine, back around 50 for the high on Tuesday with sunshine. But look for rain to continue throughout your Saturday, and then we should be dry starting tomorrow, but very, very windy with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Right now, a temperature of 40 degrees with rain showers across mid-Illinois. Fighting Illini football, 11 o'clock this morning on 105.3 The Ox at Rutgers for the Illini. And David, the big news on campus for Illinois this week was the basketball team. Preseason rankings came out, top 10. Preseason All-America team came out, IO's on that. Preseason Big Ten team came out, Illinois and Iowa, the only two schools to put multiple players on the preseason Big Ten team, IO and Kofi on there for the Illini. And this is the type of team and season that Illinois basketball has been waiting for, really, since the 05 squad.
Yeah, you know, I did not expect them to be as hyped as they are right now. I expected it to be a hyped-up year. I didn't expect them to be a preseason top 10 team, to be honest. I thought, you know, maybe in the 10 to 15 range. But, gosh, they're ahead of Duke right now. And preseason rankings don't mean anything. Let's get that out of the way. But they are ahead of Duke. And I think you said when we talked off the air this week, they're ahead of Duke and Kentucky.
In the AP poll, yeah. How about that?
Yeah. So I think there are two Big Ten teams in the top 10 right now. I think Iowa's like 5 and Illinois is 8. So, yeah, I mean, you wanted the hype surrounding the program. You wanted to be back to where you were in the mid-2000s. You're there.
And obviously, Iowa's decision to come back, that changed everything in terms of the national expectations for Illinois. If Iowa goes pro, they're top 25, but they're certainly not top 10 without Iowa. And when you look at the squad that they have assembled for this year, I mean, they are absolutely one of the favorites to win the Big Ten. And we'll get a real good sense early of where they're at, because they will be playing at Duke in early December. Now, we haven't seen their final schedule yet, but they were supposed to be playing Baylor in one of the preseason tournaments as well. I don't know that is still going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think an official announcement has been made yet, but they are supposed to play Baylor. It really comes down to the individual conferences and their protocols and everything. I know some conferences have differing protocols with regards to COVID. I know the Big Ten, I believe, is kind of similar to the ACC and the Big 12. I think the SEC and Pac-12 may have differing protocols, and that's why some of those teams are not able to play each other in the non-conference schedule. But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And last year we started to see, well, a rivalry. It's Illinois and Iowa has been a rivalry for a while, but last year we really saw it come to a head a little bit. This year, with both of them ranked in the top 10, those are going to be some interesting battles.
Those will be some battles. And, David, as I had those words come out of my mouth, I thought, let me go check. The first part of Illinois' schedule is out now.
Okay.
December
2nd. Is Baylor on there?
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy V Classic, December 2nd. They'll take on number 2 Baylor. So that's a big week. December 2nd, you play Baylor. December 8th, you play Duke. And then December 12th, you got the Bragging Rights game, which will be at Missouri. More on that in a moment with the coin flip. So that is always what you want to see from a team that has high expectations early, is those early season tests against other national powers, and they will certainly get that. As of now, November 25th, David, will be the first game of the year. North Carolina A&T will be at the State Farm Center. That's a school you'll see in the NCAA tournament more often, not as a 15 or a 16 seed. Then
I don't think they've gotten past the play-in games the last few years.
A&T?
Well, they played that 16 seed play-in game. I don't think they've gotten past that in the last few years.
And November 26th, is that Thanksgiving?
Maybe. Let me check.
I think it is. It is.
Pull that up.
Illinois's got a game scheduled on Thanksgiving against Wright State. So three straight days, the 25th, 26th, 27th, they'll play North Carolina A&T,
really,
Wright State, and Ohio.
That's part of some sort of preseason, technically, tournament as well. Holidays don't really exist in college sports. I mean, let's face it. If you're a college athlete or a big-time college athlete, you don't really get holidays off.
Well, no, they got to entertain the rest of us while we're on our holiday break.
Exactly. You know, it's funny, we were talking about the state of the Illini football program, the state of the Illini basketball program. To me, it's amazing how, in my opinion, COVID really, really hurt the Illini football program, but it seems to have really helped the Illini basketball program. Because COVID, I think, not directly, but COVID kind of brought Io and Kofi back and kind of forced them out of the draft. Whereas the football program, it messed up their scheduling and everything and their opportunity to grow. So I really think, obviously, there are no positives in COVID, but COVID did help the Illini basketball program.
That is an interesting angle with getting Io and Kofi back. Maybe that doesn't happen if we're in normal circumstances. But on the flip side of that, David, COVID did cost the Illini their trip to the NCAA tournament last year. And as good, I mean, they are extremely talented this year. But with COVID, there's no guarantee that this college basketball season is going to end any differently than the last college basketball season did.
No, that's right.
And that would be, can you imagine, I don't want to use, because again, when we talk on the sports show, we are obviously putting things in the sports prism, not meant to project anything outside of the world of sports to say that this is the most important thing going on in the world or society, because it's obviously not. But if last year and this year for Illinois end without getting to play an NCAA tournament game, that will be a travesty.
Yeah.
In terms of sports.
Yeah. It absolutely will be. It'll hurt because you finally got the program back. They were headed to the NCAA tournament last year. I don't think we can dispute that.
They were a lock.
Right. And gosh, the hype surrounding the program this year, a top 10 preseason team, and if they don't even get to play a game, now I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I mean, we just don't know at this point, but I mean, the hype surrounding the program heading into this season, they were even in last year's tournament projected to maybe make a surprising Cinderella run to the Elite Eight or Final Four. Some teams had them pulling off a few upsets. But think of what they would be projected to be going into this year. I mean, they should be a Final Four contender heading into this season as well.
Absolutely. And the season, if it gets played, which fingers crossed that it does, it's just obviously there's not going to be fans as normal. And you think about, I hate to call it the State Farm Center, but that's what it is. It'll always be the Assembly Hall to me, but it's the State Farm Center. Think about what that atmosphere would have been like in a normal year with this type of team on the floor. I mean, that would have been a classic atmosphere inside of the arena this year. And, you know, they're going to Duke, but there's not going to be any fans at Duke. So, yeah, they get to go play at Cameron. That's cool. But they're not going to get the full Cameron experience because there's going to be no crazies.
Could help them win the game.
Don't get me wrong.
That part's going to benefit them. Yes. You're going to hear a lot of Krzyzewski screams in that gym this year.
That's true.
But another one, think about the Bragg-Rights game with no fans there, especially this year, because this year, Jeremiah Tillman, Mark Smith, Trent Frazier, they're all seniors. You know, they were supposed to be playing for the same team in the same class. And Javon Pickett also, who's a junior this year for Missouri. I mean, this is their last hurrah together, and there's no fans. So that also has an effect.
Speaking of the Bragg-Rights game, had the coin flip earlier this week, and what a neat event that was, Dave, because with the normal neutral site obviously out in the COVID year, it's like, well, they're still going to play the game, and if they do, how are they going to figure out what to do? And a coin flip's about as a fair way to do it as any.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. And with no fans being allowed, it's still really a neutral site anyway. I mean, the fans are what make it not a neutral site. So,
that's right.
I would expect they're going to have non-conference officials there, like officials outside of the Big Ten and SEC. I would hope so, at least, just for fairness and everything. But, yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting game because even though Illinois and Missouri are on different paths right now, projected paths right now, Illinois is on the way up, Missouri is on the way down. Missouri is going to be really hungry for that game, especially, like I said, Mark Smith and Jeremiah Tillman. They would love nothing more than to stick it to Illinois in this game.
Mizzou's won the last 2 years, so.
They have.
And, you know, for a guy like Io, who has made it be known, his goal is to bring Illinois basketball back to national prominence. Well on their way with where they're sitting right now. But he does not want to go 0-3 against Mizzou.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. And Io would have been an Illinois legend had he not come back for his junior season. The guy's going to be able to eat anywhere for free in Champaign, Urbana right now. I mean, seriously, he...
Now, David, that would be an NCAA violation.
After he leaves. After he leaves.
Okay.
He can eat anywhere for free.
That is true. Yeah. And you just hope for so many reasons, but for him specifically, Io, that he gets to play in the NCAA tournament. To your point, he was primed to potentially be the breakout star of the whole tournament. You know, they talk the one shining moment, kind of the theme of the tournament. He was poised, I think, last year to kind of put Illinois on his back and make one of those magical type of runs to where all of a sudden Io Desunmu would have been on the forefront of the entire basketball world.
And he very much has a Mamba mentality, plays with a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. You have to wonder, coming into this season, how big that chip is going to be because he was not projected very high in the draft class, really projected at all in the draft class, that being the reason why he's back in Illinois. You have to wonder if he's looking to stick it to some draft experts and
I hope so.
Stuff like that. I hope so, too.
Let him play angry.
Yeah. Do it. You don't think he has an outside shot? Show him what you got.
Show him what you got. That's exactly right. So it's going to be a lot of fun with the Illini basketball squad this year. And, again, their first game scheduled for Wednesday, November 25th against North Carolina A&T. And whether it be Illini basketball or football, we'll have it for you all season long on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. And, again, Fighting Illini football coming up 11 o'clock this morning on The Ox. David, just a few minutes left in the program. Want to switch gears here. Talk about Tony La Russa. 76 years old, David, and he's still acting dumb.
Yeah. The guy's got a problem. I mean,
obviously.
Yeah. You can't be drinking and driving. I mean, you can't do that. You're 76 years old, man. And
this is
to top it all off, you can't pull the "Do you know who I am?"
No. No, you just can't. Like he went full Ron Burgundy. I'm kind of a big deal. Many leather-bound books. Like, come
on,
dude.
But it's not funny. Yeah.
It's not funny. You laugh because it's so sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad to see an old man act so pathetic.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What are you doing?
And he's already done this before. If you remember in 2007, they found him asleep at the wheel at an intersection during spring training when he was the manager of the Cardinals, of course. And he said, it'll never happen again. And what's he do?
It went a long time.
Like, come on, man. And to me, if you're the White Sox, you have to fire him.
Gosh, I don't know about that. I still don't know if you have to fire him.
I don't know. And the fact they knew about this when they hired him, that's not good. But this day and age, you can't condone that nonsense.
Well, no. I mean,
what if he killed someone? Do you fire him then? If, God forbid, he would have killed someone, do you fire him then?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Just for me to do that in this time is so irresponsible. And you think about what happened with Josh Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, La Russa was the man, and that's not Tony La Russa's fault.
Right.
But it goes to culture.
You're right.
If you're a young White Sox player, if La Russa gives you some edict about how to conduct yourself off the field, why in the world would you listen to him?
Yeah.
He's got no credibility on the issue.
Yeah. It's a long time between now and spring training.
A real long time. But that, the White Sox are one of the exciting young teams. They've got the reigning AL MVP. They have got talent up and down the roster. But none of that's going to be talked about. It's all going to be about your old goat of a manager who drives drunk.
Yeah.
That's what the story of the White Sox will be leading up to spring training. It'll be the first question and probably the second question that La Russa and all the players get when they get to spring training. What do you think about La Russa? do you think, what do you think about this? Should he still be managing the club? Unnecessary distractions.
Yeah. Well, we say that, and then the second day will happen. So it'll as long as he doesn't continue to make mistakes, it'll become a non-issue as the days go by.
Right. But I guess, and how many mistakes does a 76-year-old man get to make over and over and over?
Right.
You know, you can't say, well, you know, once he matures, he's going to get past all this. Once he grows up a little bit, you know, gets a little bit of world experience underneath his feet, he'll be fine.
Gets to 80, he'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. Most people don't hit their mature peak until they're 80 anyway. that's standard.
Right. That's
it was
right.
I don't know. It was one of those stories. Just, it's sad.
Yeah.
And just thankfully nobody got hurt. That's
right.
That's the most important thing there. That's going to do it here for Sports Saturday. Again, Fighting Illini football coming up 11 o'clock this morning on 105.3 The Ox. David, thank you, sir. Talk to you next week.
You too.
All right. For David, I and Tim, Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.